You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Going to be joined very, very shortly by the CEO of Outward Bound. We're going to be talking about a new Outward Bound report which shows a crisis of confidence in rangatahi as they really struggle to navigate the world, social media, and they struggle to make sense of a future which doesn't seem to be a very bright one. We're joined by Melindy McLean, the CEO of Outward Bound, here to have a kōrero about this report. Good morning to you, Melindy. How are you doing?
Good morning, Zach. I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm very, very glad to hear that, man. You mentioned before you had you've had a long weekend recently, and you went up to Lee, a small town near Northland, correct?
That's correct. Small little fishing village about an hour north of Auckland. So I've spent most of my childhood years up there, and retreat back up there whenever I can.
Are you one for seafood?
I am one for seafood.
Okay,
it would be a shameful thing to hang out in a fishing village and not eat seafood.
It'd be horrible. But I know so many people who hate seafood, and they would probably, knowing their luck, be born in a fishing village. Oh, goodness. I was doing some reading about you, and I saw that you were at Harvard?
I had done a business course at Harvard, so that's slightly different. Harvard have a series of executive programs. Mm. I actually didn't go to university out of high school, but I have since made a big effort to make up for that and studied later and gone and done a whole bunch of other courses and have been lucky enough to go and do a course at Harvard as part of that.
That's pretty nuts, though, and I assume you were in the US doing it on the ground.
I was in the US. It was last year, actually, and it was just in the middle of when Harvard was having a big fight with the US government. So it was a pretty spicy time to actually be in Boston and witnessing that go down.
Mm. But Boston's a pretty magical place, it seems, right?
It was great. Yeah, I loved it. And I've spent a bit of time in the US at various points for various things and always have a fabulous time there. It's very different in different places, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure. I read that you also had quite a bit of a life reset when COVID hit, as you had a massive career in the corporate world, but something didn't feel right. You thought that you could do better things with the power and privilege that you had. And I want to know, like, what about that corporate life made you, like, want to leave it? You know, you weren't working for Lockheed Martin, were you?
Oh, Zach, you've done your digging, and it's supposed to be about the crisis of confidence.
I know,
in young
we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, not Melindy McLean's crisis of confidence. No, I definitely did have one of those moments where I sat back and reflected on what I wanted to do with my life and my time, my energy, Outward Bound was a very obvious fit for me. I think I was really interested in systemic change and kind of going up the chain to understand what are the things that are going to make New Zealand better for lots of people. And I'm a very proud Kiwi, very proud New Zealander. And kind of committed that everything I would do with my time and energy from now on would be, I'd have to believe that I was having some kind of impact on this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're certainly turning heads with this new report. It surveyed 553 New Zealanders, 330 young adults and 223 parents, that's the composition of the survey respondents. Now, 58% of rangatahi said that the world is getting worse, with 16% saying that it's the worst it's ever been. This reminds me of this idea that the future's been cancelled for the next generation. You know, how did you react when you saw those numbers?
So we actually had a bit of a hypothesis around it, which is why we went looking for the data. Mm. We are, we work with thousands of young people every year at Outward Bound, and they are definitely experiencing more stress. And we see a lot of data around mental health challenges. We see data around depression, anxiety. This has been around for a really long time. A new report gets released and it's another set of data telling us about young people's mental health. But we were more interested in actually what it feels like to be young and what does it feel like to be 18 and kind of looking ahead at the world. And looking at the report and seeing those big numbers around feeling like the world is the worst it's ever been were pretty sobering. It doesn't suggest why, but we can draw lots of hypotheses around why that is. The thing that we actually were surprised by in the report was, if you dig beyond that sense that the world is the worst that it's ever been, actually 26% of young people also say that they don't feel like they have the ability to change their life for the better. So there's a real combination of this sort of bleak outlook and this loss of agency, like that feeling of powerlessness in the face of it. So that was the bit that was quite confronting.
And there's a correlation with that relationship between heightened screen time and feeling helpless. But do you think there's a correlation between, you know, that bleak outlook on life, as you said, and not being able to change the world positively, and not being able to instill positive change within yourself? As you say, this is a generation without agency.
So what, you know, we can't draw causation, but what the data told us was that if a young person spends more than 4 hours a day online, they are twice as likely to have report feeling no confidence, zero confidence in their ability to improve their lives for the better. And so what we know is that young people in New Zealand are spending over 40 hours a week online, mostly on average spending 4 hours online. Yeah, more than a full-time job. So we have this kind of real connection between, you know, time spent online, looking at the world through this lens of probably social media is one of the things that's pulling a lot of people, young people online for long periods of time. And then these feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, inability to change themselves. And in Outward Bound, fundamentally, we are about personal change and personal growth. So this is for us something that is really, really interesting, and sort of reinforces the role that we feel that we have to play for young people in this country.
I like that you said the report tries to make the reader feel like what it is to be an 18-year-old at the moment. And I think you can get that the most with these quote segments where there's a young woman, Jennifer, talking about, you know, sort of pessimism around inheriting a dying planet, and then there's another man, another guy, Oliver, who says that you know, everything is content, everything is sort of commodified, everything is just, you know, posted online. I mean, how many kind of responses, like in depth, you know, multiple sentence long paragraph kind of responses did you get like that?
We got a range, and it's actually some people are filling out the data and they give you their answers and that's it, and others actually were really connecting with the issues that we were talking about. We've also been doing a listening project as we explore the Outward Bound brand. We've been doing a listening project with young people and sort of getting them to talk to us about how they feel about the world. And these are young people who haven't been on Outward Bound, so trying to look out beyond the Outward Bound borders and think about how are young people in this country just experiencing life, and, you know, how do we then turn around and meet them. There's all sorts of things that come through that, like the burden of self-care, the pressure of growing up with social media as a kind of constant performance report on how well you're doing at being alive. And obviously then things like the sort of political systems and the sort of system being rigged against young people. So that feeling of like the system's rigged against me, I could kind of that old story of work hard, try hard, get ahead, doesn't really feel like it's going to work for me. And the, you know, especially Generation Z, who are under 30, they've seen millennials. So I'm a millennial. They've seen millennials kind of try that and really struggle, you know, burn themselves out, struggling to get
completely
on the housing market. Yeah, and so they're kind of looking at that going, why would I follow that script? This system is rigged against us. No, and this is not everyone. These are generalizations. Reports like this you know, they generalize. But it's a really interesting provocation for us to think about.
Well, funny you mention that, because the ex-editor of our student mag Critic recently posted in their first ever freelance article about, you know, the social contract being broken, and particularly in Aotearoa, and that's why they're moving to Australia. Like, that's why so many New Zealanders are leaving out the door. One thing I really want to nail down from this report that really fascinated me is the relationship between parenting in a digital age, because there's a kind of a terrifying statistic here. 71% of parents say their teen has not exhibited signs of doomerism or despair, but 57% of the youth respondents said that they see the world as declining. And that is quite worrisome, because it means that parents really don't know what their kids are up to. And, you know, what is the role of being a parent to a child who is just chronically online? You know, how do you do that?
I don't have the answers for that, but I do think there is a disconnect, and we felt at Outbound, we felt there was a disconnect and wanted to understand that. And so what the report tells us is that parents are missing the signals, and so you know, young people are feeling this sense of despair and doomerism and nihilism about the state of the world. And they're having an experience online where they're exposed to all sorts of what we would call fringe content. And parents report knowing about that at levels that are lower than teens report seeing it. So there is a reported disconnect, but also we would assume that parents potentially overestimate, even in that data, they're overestimating what they know about their teens' experience online. And key to this is the way that social media and algorithms work. Right, so you end up in this kind of echo chamber that's directed at you and trying to hook you in, and a 65-year-old mum is going to have a totally different experience online on her social media, on her Facebook, on her Instagram, than her 18 or 20-year-old daughter. And it's quite interesting when we talk to parents about this, and they say, "Well, you know, I've never been approached by somebody online." It's like, "Well, no, you're not actually the target market." And so this that drives this disconnect for understanding quite how engrossing and shocking the online experience can be for young people. What do we do about that? I think having some of these conversations, and there is this increasing awareness around the harms of social media, the harms of excessive online time for young people, especially teenagers in New Zealand. And obviously there's conversations around legislation and actually reducing screen time. The flip side for us is also if young people shouldn't be online for as long as they are spending online, what should they be doing with their time? And we know that spending time outdoors, you know, learning through experiences is really, really important for young people. The report tells you 87% of young people actually think that spending time outdoors would be good for them. They know that. And they regret, you know, the vast majority of them regret their time online. And so, you know, for parents thinking about their young people and young people listening who might have parents who might support them, you know, actually going and saying, I want to get out and do some of these things are going to be really good for me, good for my development, good for my learning. Outward Bound is an example.
Yes.
But there are lots of organisations like Outward Bound who are playing in that realm of actually helping young people to thrive and feel powerful again.
Yep. And it is just a matter of breaking that cycle of just scrolling and feeling miserable. Yeah. There's maybe one more statistic I wanted to bring up, and that is the fact that 1 in 4 young men are reporting having 0 close friends. And by close friends, we mean someone that they can cry in front of and feel okay. Do you think that part of that is how men are sort of socialized to be more stoic and reserved, and now with you know, being chronically online, with the pessimism, with the despair, it's sort of gone on steroids?
Yeah, it's I mean, that was a really sad statistic, hey, because we know that having close friends and not feeling lonely, not feeling isolated is such a protective factor against all sorts of things like mental health, mental illness, and also not being radicalized online. So there's, you know, there are these links between the sort of normalization of misogyny that we're seeing a lot of online. It's showing up in the stats. We know that schools are reporting that as well, especially female teachers.
Yeah.
And then you've got young men feeling isolated, lonely, you know, a quarter of them saying they have no close friends. What causes that? I think, you know, we can't draw that conclusion from the report. What do we know helps? Like I said before, environments where young people can be safe and challenge themselves. So, you know, what we see on Outward Bound, you know, we have seen an increase in some of the fringe behaviour, so some misogynistic behaviour and some of the sort of gendered-based behaviour that schools are reporting. But what we see in an Outward Bound environment where you have, you know, young people, boys, girls, all genders, coming together, and there's no phones, there's no contact with the outside world. They're kind of in this present moment and being really supported by these amazing instructors who are incredible role models, both male and female role models, and just learning to connect with themselves and who they are and how they impact other people. And young people are incredible. You know, they respond to those learning environments in the most amazing way, and we see this huge transformation in the rangatahi that comes through these programs. So we sort of have a lot of the ingredients to address some of these issues, but we do need to start talking more about, yeah, what does it actually feel like to be a young man in Aotearoa and not have a single close friend and feel isolated and feel lonely. And then we wonder why, you know, some of those darker forces of the internet are pulling young men in.
Like the Andrew Tates of the world.
Yeah, the Andrew Tates of the world. I mean, I try not to give his name too much airtime.
Yeah,
but, no. You know, there are these kind of strong, compelling invitations to feel powerful and to feel strong. And you know, what we're seeing in this data is that is probably quite compelling, because young people are feeling helpless and powerless and isolated. And so, you know, that is what we're up against. We're up against these very powerful algorithms that are supporting some of the worst voices on the internet, mm-hmm. For young people's attention and energy.
One thing that we'll leave the corridor off pretty soon, but one thing that I've noticed recently in the talk about doomerism is the lack of third spaces, which are really, you know, key for social connection. Did that come through at all during the survey? Did many people talk about third spaces?
We didn't really ask about that in the survey. We did have that question around spending time outdoors and what would that improve. But you know, it's a really valid point. You know, and doomerism it's such a, you know, we toyed with calling this the doomerism report, actually, Zach. because it is something that we are becoming more aware of, and sort of we know that young people need connection. You're seeing this kind of chronically online but socially isolated, you know, that is the argument that is put forward for social media often, is that it creates connection. But, you know, when you've got lonely people and people feeling disconnected, it's obviously not doing that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, third spaces, you know, I'm always going to be an advocate of getting outside, you know, doing a program like Outward Bound, but also clubs and membership, you know, that there is a correlation between the decline of those kinds of spaces and the rise in people feeling isolated.
Completely. Outdoors are great. We recently just put on like an all-ages gig at a great venue in Dunedin called Pearl Diver, and we had an incredible response from rangatahi in high school. It was so cool to see them all out socialising, drinking energy drinks before going into the gig. You know, it was so sweet. But I think that's a really positive note to leave off this sort of report. Thank you so much for coming on the program, Melindy. I really hope you have a great day. Take care.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Zach. And I agree about there is lots of shining lights in our young people out there.
So. Completely. Thank you so much.
See you later.
See ya. All right, folks, that was Melindy McLean, the CEO, the chief executive of Outward Bound. We just had a korero with Melindy about their new crisis of confidence among rangatahi report, which you can read online. It's not too surprising, but, you know, there are some silver bullets for this issue. Going outside, going to a club, destroying capitalism. I think those will all help in the long term. This next track we're going to...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.